Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Troubleshooting PeopleWeb Solution in WebSphere Process Server. Today's presenter is Pratima Ahuja. Pratima works with the Business Process Choreographer Support Group. She works on resolving customer issues with implementing different areas of functionality within Business Process Choreographer. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Pratima.
Hello. Thank you, Joseph, for that introduction. So as Joseph mentioned, the topic for discussion today is people resolution in WebSphere Process Server. Some of the ideas that I will present here are things that you have already worked with by virtue of using WebSphere Process Server. And this functionality is mainly exposed through the Business Process Choreographer. Some of these topics may be a little bit high level, and some of them may go deeper into the implementation, given the fact that you have worked with this with the WebSphere Process Server for some time now. So depending on the scenarios that I'm presenting, it may be a little bit high level, or it may go a little bit more into the detail specifics. So if you have any questions on any of those, please feel free to stop me as I'm going from slide to slide. But I tried to consolidate as many points as I could with regards to common issues that users face when working with people resolution. So with that, I think we can move on to the next slide, slide number 2. Joseph? So the agenda is basically to go over a high-level overview of people resolution and the functionality that it provides, and also capture a few of the common problem scenarios that we have seen customers face. Some of those scenarios, as you will see, are implementation specific. They rely on, they are actually a function of the repository types that are used, function of the design of the business process, and some other deployment-based situations that we see customers encountering. And the last part will be Q&A, and at that point you can also ask any questions if you have. So on to the next slide, please, Joseph, slide number 3. So as most of you already probably know, the debugger information is done through a variety of trace strings that the WebSphere Process Server provides for debugging individual components. And when you are facing issues with staff resolution, the commonly provided trace string by the support team for you to enable through the admin console is the com.ibm.bpe*, trace string, the staff support trace string, and the task trace string. The BPE support, the BPE trace string is for the BPE engine, and it generally spews out a lot of information with regards to the processing of individual activities within the BPO, and the staff support trace string is more implementation specific with regards to the repository type that you may be using, and also it prints out the SQL statements that are being executed against the database to determine what are the queries that are being executed with respect to the verbs that are being used and the roles that are defined in the repository. So when you put this entire trace string, the log file will contain a lot of information, and some of that information can be used to track what exactly would be going on with respect to processing of the individual verbs and the lookup of the roles, depending on the repository used. So next slide, please, Joseph, slide number 4. So people resolution is used for modeling human tasks according to authorization roles. These roles are configured in a repository. The most commonly used repositories are Tivoli Directory Server, Active Directory, and not very often do we see people defining their own registries. These roles are evaluated using different verbs, and there are a variety of different verbs available. The most commonly used are groups, member of groups, user IDs, a user ID based on an XPath, and that XPath is resolved at runtime based on a variety of criteria that are input as part of modeling of the human task. We'll see an example of this later on in the future slides. So next slide, please, Joseph. Okay, slide number 5 shows the role of the verb group members without named users. That's how you typically model a human task. With the drop-down, you can select a variety of different verbs. And in this particular case, the verb being used is group members without named users. So what this means is that at runtime, you can provide a group member syntax within the BPC Explorer, and you can exclude specific users from that group. If you look at the group name, you will also see that we are using a dynamic XPath to specify that this is something that will be resolved at runtime based on the criteria that is supplied by the user. Now, similarly, you can choose users with a fixed ID. So instead of this particular verb, you could say you could choose user ID from the drop-down and enter a hard-coded value for the username. So this is just one of the examples of the verb being used here. Next slide, please, Joseph, slide number 6. The next set of slides deals with a common set of scenarios that we have seen users use and run into issues with. The first one that I wanted to go over was with regards to group members not being resolved. So group membership, as you probably know already, is based on object names that are used by the directory provider. So an LDAP directory has a standard attribute on the user or person. It defines which groups a user is a member of. And this attribute needs to be configured as the group membership attribute on the group attribute definition panel. Specifically in this case, I'm looking at the virtual member manager as the provider. And what that means is that a virtual member manager basically provides you the facility of configuring a lot of repositories together based on domain names, which can be combined to look up users from the different repositories. And when you define a virtual member manager within the admin console, you are basically defining the search criteria that will be used for looking up users within different repositories. And all of these repositories are defined using bind names and distinguished names, and they also specify a starting path from where to start looking for these users based on the defined realms and the names of those realms. So the scope tells us what is contained within the membership attribute for that scope. So when we use Tivoli Directory Server as a directory provider, the scope is set to all, which means that when that particular directory provider looks at group members, and if you have nested groups defined, then it's going to return all users within one go. And the name of the group membership attribute is defined as IBM-all groups. This particular screenshot does not show that, but if you use Tivoli Directory Server, the name of the group membership attribute would be IBM-all groups, and the scope should be set as all to indicate that there is no need to go further and look up users if they are defined within a nested hierarchy. The name of this group membership attribute if you are using Active Directory, should say direct, which would mean that the people directory provider in this case needs to go and look at any nested subgroups if they are defined. So direct is the setting that needs to be used if you're using Active Directory with the member of attribute. So a scenario is when a problem scenario is when someone uses Active Directory as a people directory provider, but the scope has not been set to direct. It has been set to nested or all, and in that particular case, all the users would not be returned. Make sure that if you're using Active Directory, that the scope has been set to direct and is not being set to anything other than that. Next slide, please, Joseph. Slide number 7. So this is actually the screenshot which shows from where the group attribute definition is set. And as I mentioned earlier, for Tivoli, the name of the object class is IBM-AllGroups, and for Active Directory, it would be the member of attribute. And the member of attribute needs to be set to direct for Active Directory, and for the IBM AllGroups, it would be set to all. Next slide, please, Joseph. Slide number 8. Another problem scenario we see is that sometimes users that are configured in the repository are not seen when the user logs in to the VPC Explorer and tries to see the tasks that they are responsible for. So as a first step, a good thing to verify is to go to the admin console and to search for all the groups and all the users that are configured through the people directory provider. And the way to navigate to that is to go to admin console under your servers. There on the left-hand pane, there is the option to select manage users and manage groups. So when you select manage users, and if you just put a star in the search for a field and then select search, it'll give you a list of all the groups and users that are configured with your directory provider. So in this screenshot, it is showing the groups. Similarly, you can also search for all the users that are configured within the directory provider by doing a user search. Next slide, Joseph, slide number 9. If you happen to get an authorization failed exception when you are using the VPC API to perform different functions through the APIs provided, like claim tasks or work on tasks, the exception would be a SecJ00553E exception. A common solution to this is to make sure that you have the security role to user group mapping set up correctly on your container. So container would be the BPE container and the task container. So if you navigate to those two applications from within the admin console and you check to see the BPE API user and the task API user should be set to all authenticated. So those two roles need to be mapped to all authenticated within these two applications to make sure that the container can be accessed for any API calls made by authenticated users. Next slide, Joseph, slide number 10, please. So this particular scenario shows an XPath being used to resolve a group name at runtime based on the group name and the name that is specified. So the user, in this case, needs to make sure that the business object that is being used and the variable that is being used to look up the user at runtime has been defined as an array. If you do not define this as an array, what will happen is that particular string will be translated into just the string and will not be resolved to a variable that will hold the values that are specified through the BPC Explorer. So what will happen is that at runtime, none of those values will be resolved, and as expected, the output will be that your resolution will fail. So if you go to the next slide, Joseph, the slide number 11, that shows that the name field needs to be defined as a string array to hold multiple values defined through the BPC Explorer containing the names of those users that are to be excluded from the group name. Okay, next slide, please. Slide number 12, Joseph. Another pitfall is that when you are designing the human task, there is a property on the human task to specify the JNDI name of the people directory provider. And depending on the people directory provider that you're using, the JNDI property needs to be set to the right name. So in this case, if we are using virtual member manager, so the people directory points to the virtual member manager. If you were using virtual member manager and the people directory had been set to standalone LDAP, then you would see that your people resolution would not work as desired, and you would see unexpected results. So you need to make sure that the JNDI name corresponds to the actual provider type that is being used for staff resolution. Next slide, please, Joseph, slide number 13. Another point to note is with respect to replacement variables, and replacement variables are not evaluated at refresh. So, for instance, if a people assignment criteria such as the following is used, where you have percent variable name and an XPath following it, this will store the value of the business process variable upon task start and will not update the value if the variable name is updated. It's based on the simple principle that staff refresh is meant to update results of people assignment based on changes in the repository and not based on changes to the variable at runtime. So if there's a business object variable that you are tracking at runtime whose value is changing based on navigation, then the variable change based on the business object will not be taken into effect. However, changes with respect to the staff resolution portion of the business variable, depending on who is configured as an owner of the task, will be taken into effect. Next slide, please, Joseph, slide number 14. So here we have a couple of pitfalls and suggestions on what could be checked for with respect to troubleshooting a human task and staff resolution. So after you make change to a human task, specifically if you're adding a new verb to people resolution and that verb incorporates a change to the XSL file, given that you have to provide a new template that will be called if you make changes to the verb, you have to make sure that that XSL file is redeployed and it requires a server restart. If you are in a clustered environment, then that XSL file must be copied to every node in the clustered environment, not just to one node on which you made the change. If you make changes to people directory provider and the change is not reflected in the assignments, you can run the staff refresh query through the admin console to make sure that the people directory got refreshed. There is a manual daemon that runs based on the time that you have configured in the daemon. Typically, it runs at 1 a.m. every night. But if you have made the change and are trying to test at a time prior to this to the time that the daemon runs, then you can manually run the staff refresh query using the admin console. Next slide, please. Slide number 15, Joseph. When the repository is expected to return a larger number of users than the number of users that are actually seen, then you need to change the value of the threshold in the XSL file and make sure that it corresponds to the number of users that you are expected to see. So if the value is, say, 20, and you are expecting 30 or 40 users to be returned, make sure that the threshold value is modified in accordance with the number of users that are expected to be seen. The next thing that you can do while you're developing your human task is to make sure that you test the verb from the WebSphere integration developer to see that the verb is being resolved correctly. And there is a test tab on the human task design view where you can test and run the server in a debug mode to see if that verb is being resolved and if the users that are correlated to that particular verb are being returned. Oftentimes we see that the database gets bogged down by too many unused staff queries being stored in the database. A way to alleviate the issues with database storage when you have queries that have already run and are no longer needed is to run the cleanup unused staff query instances script. And this will delete any unused queries, any unused instances from the database and give you back your database size. Next slide, please, Joseph, slide number 16. So if you're interested in seeing what is going on with respect to the execution of the verb from a runtime perspective, you can enable the staff diagnosis feature in Admin Console by navigating to the server cluster, WebSphere application server, then the name of your server type, and then the set the value for the custom property staff.diagnosis to on. And when you do this, you will see a lot of information printed to your systemout.log file, which shows what is going on with respect to staff resolution and at what point the verb is with respect to being determined and being resolved. And not just the verb, but anything pertaining to staff resolution with respect to claim of the task, working of the task, those are the kinds of things that you can see in the log file. Next slide, please. Slide number 17, Joseph. These are the links to some resources with respect to WSTE, and you can navigate to these links to see for any other presentations made within specific topics of WPS or the whole suite of products. Next slide, please, Joseph. Slide number 18. And at this point, I think we are opening up for questions and any other comments. Joseph, I'm going to turn over to you.
Thank you, Fatima, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Florin Gallen. Your line is open.
In admin console, those users might not be visible in Choreographer. And this is the case we have in production, where there are hundreds of users literally added every day during the daytime, and those users are not seen in Choreographer, and we didn't know that there is an option in admin console for refreshing. We found out about a script. It's called Refresh Staff Query, SH. And sometimes it works, sometimes it didn't. So I was wondering which is the best way to go to admin console to refresh it, because if I said that there are literally hundreds of users added during each day, and those users need to be immediately seen in Choreographer in order to accept the human task.
Florin, you're saying your question is basically you're adding a lot of users to the repository, and those users are not getting reflected when they try to access those tasks. They are not being resolved?
Yes, that's correct.
There could be a number of issues going on. When you are adding those users, the first point to check is to go to your, what is the provider type that is being used?
What do you mean, the provider?
Are you using LDAP or are you using Active Directory?
Active Directory, yes.
Active Directory. So the first thing to do is basically make sure those users are actually reflected in Active Directory as well by running scripts against Active Directory. Typically, we deal with the Tivoli Directory Server, and when we add new users to the directory server, there is a command that you can run from Tivoli Directory Server to see if those users are actually reflected in Tivoli Directory Server, and it's known as the LDAP search command. There must be something similar for Active Directory whereby you can first make sure that those users are actually there in Active Directory. Have you been able to do that?
No, we didn't check that. We'll try it. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Our next question is from Asim Khan. Your line is open.
Yeah. I have a question. We have LDAP, we have some parent directory, and we have some directories in the parent directory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we assign a task to a particular group in a parent directory, or group is in the parent directory, but the users are in the child. So when we assign a human task to a particular group in a parent directory, it goes for the users in the child, but sometimes we get timeout exception. So this is a very, because it is very slow. So just want to ask, how can we speed up it?
So are you using nested groups? Is that what you're saying? So you have a parent directory, and within the parent directory, you have a subdirectory, and the users are defined within that subdirectory?
Exactly.
Okay. What is the scope that... Are you using LDAP or are you using Active Directory?
LDAP.
LDAP. What is the scope? You should... I'm not sure if you were able to go through the slides. You were there in the beginning of the presentation where I talked about the scope attribute that corresponds to the IBM all groups object class type in LDAP.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so what is the scope that has been set for that particular group? Has it been set to all?
Yeah, it is set for all.
Okay, so if it has been set to all, then are you using VMM or are you using standalone LDAP?
Yeah, standalone LDAP.
Okay, you're using standalone LDAP. Typically, so that scope variable defines the number of searches that are made against the backend provider, which in this case is LDAP. So if it is set to all, then it is already performant enough not to cause more searches to nested groups, and all those groups should be retrieved in one go. However, there may be something else going on. Is it just that the users are being retrieved in a slow fashion, or they are not being retrieved at all?
Basically, what I get is that when at a particular human task, when my process comes to a human task, if the users are defined in the parent directory, that is in the same directory in which the group is defined, it successfully assigns a human task. But if the users are in a child directory and the group is in the above one, then it gives me that timeout exception.
Oh, I see.
And then the API to fetch the user, it also hang for 30-40 minutes, and after that I got a timeout exception on the server logs.
Mm-hmm. I see. There might be some issues with the way that the subgroups have been defined. Have you been able to retrieve those groups from LDAP? If you do a search on LDAP, is a particular user retrieved if you look for a user that is defined within the child directory?
If I connect to a child directory, I can fetch the groups and users from the child directory from my admin console. But if I go through the admin to the child directory through the parent one, then I got the exception.
Okay. Yeah, there may be some other things going on, so you probably will have to open up a problem report so that someone can help you with that, because we would have to look at how those groups are defined, how those child groups are defined, and other attributes with respect to your LDAP definition. So is this on, what release is this on?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
I was saying, what release are you on? What WPS release are you on?
6.2.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, we would have to look at how the groups and subgroups are defined, and it would be hard to troubleshoot this, you know, given the amount of information that we have. So you can open a problem report, and then we could help you with determining what could be going wrong with respect to looking up those child groups.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you for the question from Florin. Your line is open again.
We have some time ago on an issue with our application. We tested on our environment, testing environment, have a production clone. So we tested everything. All the tests went okay, and when we entered in the production, all the flows, let's say, crashed on the human task. And the issue was that the application was developed on the WPS 6.1, and all the human tasks worked okay there. But it seems that on WPS 6.2, it doesn't work. Just the task just throw an exception, and all the flow just hangs. We opened some incident, but we didn't have any resolution. The problem was that the condition when the human task to be launched is an you have to put on time. Let's say 1 second, 0 seconds, 1 hour, whatever, and we never filled that property for the human task. And on WPS 6.1, we have a warning in the console that the field for when the human task should be launched is not filled, and the human task was launched immediately for the condition specified. However, in SysDevs 2, we get an error on the console, and the flow just hangs. And we didn't catch that at testing time when the application was in production, and we have to roll back from 6.2 to 6.1, and we didn't get a resolution. So I'm wondering if it's because we asked the support about this, but we didn't receive a resolution. So I'm wondering if you know something about this.
So you're saying that you were able to resolve it to the fact that the human task needed a condition as to specify when exactly it would be launched?
Yes. A number specified his properties, when should be launched, after 1 second.
Is that an escalation?
Yes.
So typically escalations are time-bound, so an escalation needs to specify an escalation. If you have an escalation on a human task, it needs to have a time value property associated with it as to when the escalation will be launched. Otherwise, the human task will stay in a waiting state.
Yes, I understand that the problem here was that we have over 400 different types of human tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And all the human tasks were not completed this volume when the escalation should be raised. And therefore, on 6-1, we received an warning at the console, at the system out log, saying that that property is not specified and the escalation
right.
was launched immediately. However, on 6.2, we deployed the same application and we received an exception and the flow hangs. I'm not saying this is not a correct, it's a correct behavior, but we have different behavior between 6.1 and 6.2.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So that would be more of a validator type of change between 6.1 and 6.2, and I'm not sure why that change was made, but I can go back and check to see if there is any difference in the code, validation code between 6.1 and 6.2 and why that change was made. So if you could send me your email, I will get back to you with respect to why that change was made and the reason behind it.
Great. It would be great. Thanks.
Okay.
And we have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.